Rogers is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore. Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. This is Dave Hodges, your host, and we are the show that is saving America one enslaved mind at a time. And we have a really terrific show for you. Sometimes you got to do things on the fly. We were originally scheduled to have Lisa Haven on, and unfortunately we've not been able to make contact with her. We hope everything's okay. I spent the morning yesterday with Lisa and her husband, and we were at the Arizona Breakfast Club, where I was speaking, and to a bunch of what I like to call hardcore activists. I mean, I don't think there's an organization like this in the country. And it's sponsored by Ernie Hancock of Freedom's Phoenix. Ernie has a great website. In fact, it was actually the very first place that I ever published, and that's freedomsphoenix.com, and freedoms with an S, and it's really worth a visit. And in fact, we're going to get Ernie on the show here sometime in the next few weeks. And this guy really is the best activist that I know. We'll try to catch up with Lisa a little later in this hour. In the second hour, we're going to be joined by Joseph Meyer. And Joseph Meyer is he's an economist extraordinaire. And he's made some observations about what's going on. I'm going to be asking him about the Deutsche Bank, and I think the nuts and bolts are coming out of the foundation there, and I think things are already falling apart, but we'll get Joe's reaction to that. And speaking of Joe's, this is a good Joe show, because in the third hour, we are cementing our relationship with the Hagman and Hagman Report, and we have on Joe Hagman. Next week, we'll be joined by Doug Hagman, and some weeks, we'll be joined by both Joe and Doug, and Doug and Joe, and we're going to talk about current events. And we felt it was important, the Hagmans and I felt it was important, to solidify a lot of what we were doing, because we think time is short. We want to be concise and consistent with our listening audience. We need to make sure as many people are prepared as possible as we go into these very, very, very dark times. And I really think that, I'll just put it this way, that both audiences are going to be the beneficiary of this marriage. Doug and I were talking yesterday on the phone. We called it the mega media merger. Well, that feels good for our egos. But the fact is if we can bring these two audiences together and work together with common goals and purpose, well, then we've won a big victory. Well, a couple things I want to go over here before we get to our first guest that we called in an impromptu manner. Actually, she called me earlier in the afternoon, and that's Shauna Cox. We'll get to Shauna in just a moment, but I want to let everybody know we are sponsored by Renaissance Precious Metals, my good friend Steve Quayle. And again, I say it every week, we edge closer and closer towards the banks shutting down. And when they shut down, remember, the FDIC has 1.2% of the money they need on hand to insure your money. That's it. 1.2%. What are you going to do? You're not going to get your money back. In fact, the credit swap derivatives group has been moved ahead of you in the pecking order. Well, what you got to do is trade your money in for precious metals. It's the only thing that's going to hold value anyway. Give Steve a call tomorrow, 406-586-4842. For all your prepping needs, and there are a lot of them, and sometimes it can be overwhelming to know where to start. And I would give Bob Griswold a call, and he'll talk with you. He and his staff, very friendly, low pressure. They'll work with your budget. They have great, reasonable prices, and they have everything you could possibly need. Give Bob a call tomorrow, 1-800-627-3809. And you can go up to his website, readymaderesources.com, and check out the fine product line. Everything from night vision to water treatment, to communications. You're going to need alternative communications, of course, and Bob's covered that many times. So again, 1-800-627-3809. And one last stop for our sponsors for this hour, Numana Foods. if the banks are closed and things aren't being shipped and the BDI, the Baltic Dry Index, is in the toilet, do you really think you're going to be able to walk down the grocery store and get your food? FEMA says the average American has, 3 days of food. I wish it was 13. 3 days. 3 days of food. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when that happens? You better be prepared. Go to pneumonia.com/Hodges. Well, we have an impromptu guest, and she was generous enough and gracious enough to come on, and she had contacted me earlier in the afternoon, and I got to her just before we were going on the air, and I'm talking about Shauna Cox, and we've had Shauna on before in relationship to the events in Oregon with regard to the Bundys and others. And there's been virtually a media blackout on this. And if you recall, several months ago, we tried to interview Ammon on this show. And, well, everybody was gone. We were gone. He was gone. Both of our satellites that carry the show independent of each other were gone. Our listen by phone was gone. So the show did not go off. But the next day, we were able to record by Skype. And we've had Shauna on, too, to supplement the information. And she, unfortunately, witnessed, I think, one of the most darkest hours in law enforcement history in this country with regard to Lavoie Finicum. Shauna, let me bring you in here, and I want to welcome you to the show. And thank you for coming on such short notice.
No problem. Sounds like you have a great lineup. I'm really excited to that you're out there beating the drum, because people really have got to be prepared. Where I am right now is standing in front of the Multnomah County Jail. I'm going in to visit the Ryan and Ammon and guys. I have court has begun. We've already gone through the prosecutions, and we've just started Wednesday and Thursday. We started into our defense, and we're working hard to show the evilness and the dark side of the federal government, and it's been being exposed to things. And so we are encouraged that the truth, we're trying to get the truth out. Of course, they've limited it very narrowly, and are trying desperately to throw charges against us, so of course they could keep them in there.
But when you say that they're proceeding very narrowly, are you talking about admission of evidence from the defense side?
Absolutely. The judge has narrowed the scope clear down to, so we can't bring in such things as the death of Lavoie, we can't bring in jurisdiction, we can't bring in a number of things. It's come clear down to either if there was a conspiracy or there wasn't, and so that's what they're trying to push us everything into, making a conspiracy out of nothing. And so that seems to be the biggest nail they've got to hang us with. And anyway, it just seems to me that if American people don't wake up, then it'll be just like you said, overnight the banks are closed, everything's down. You don't want to have our good people still held up in prison for doing nothing wrong. And that seems to be the trend, you know, as the guilty go free and the innocent are hung. Anyway,
well, go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Shauna.
We've been having more people that show up this week. And they're down here on the corner every night. They're, you know, parading and around the building and showing their support. It's been really good, and we hope to see more people that understand what's really happening.
Yeah, very, very, very disturbing what I'm hearing here. This is a classic trick when you're dealing with the feds, and the feds are about as dirty as any mafia organization, where they limit your ability to defend yourself by saying what you can and can't talk about. Let's go through some of the charges. What are the most serious charges against the Bundys?
They've Actually, what they did is they made two rounds. This is round one. So they took half the people on this one. Some of them have fled out because they've really been threatened in the weakest hour. After they've been in here over 6 months, and they've kept us all isolated, so there was no communication. They couldn't put together any kind of defense or anything. So after, you know, how they do is they isolate and then annihilate. And they pressured those, a lot of people. I don't say that they're cowards. I say that they got so pressured with no hope because they couldn't even get to talk to the outside world. They were stuck in a corner by themselves, and they were pressured by their attorneys, actually, to press them to flee out. And they felt that it was getting hopeless at some points, and they government knows that. They played that card really well. But we know what we're standing for. And okay. We understand
let me ask you this. What's next in the proceedings now?
Well, we are still... The charges are, number one is conspiracy. Everybody's charged with conspiracy to impede. They keep changing the charge. It's called U.S. C 932, 937 maybe. I think it's 937. Anyway, it's conspiracy to impede a federal officer. Then they change it to a federal officer or an employee. Then they just keep changing. And then it's prevent an employee from going to work. It's trying to make it stick as the same charge. Anyway, they just keep floundering back and forth. But the truth is, nobody impeded anyone. We had people who actually came down there every day. Nobody was impeded or prevented from coming if they wanted to come. So,
but it seems like a minor issue. Impeding means I stepped in your way. I mean, we're not talking assault with a deadly
weapon.
Right,
keeping them from going to work, but there's a... Well, they're saying it's a federal crime if it's an officer, but in fact, these people are not officers, but they are employees that would have worked there.
I see.
By law, and an officer is someone that is appointed, you know, and takes an oath of office. These people are not taking an oath of office, and they are not employed, and they're just employees. But regardless, they weren't impeded. But it's just one of their ways to try to trick, you know, try to find something to hang us on, because it's the easiest kind of a charge you can find. Any two people even talking can be part of a conspiracy. And if it became what they say a conspiracy to commit a federal crime, then it becomes a federal charge. It's very broad. Anyway,
Shauna, let me ask you this here. Would it be okay if we check in with you and have you on to update us about what's going on?
I would love to do that when you have time. Yes, give me a call.
Yeah, I really want to pursue this. It sounds like things really haven't unwound yet, except for the fact that the federal government's trying to determine they're going to win by not letting Ryan and Ammon have their day in court with their evidence. And the murder of Lavoie... I mean, I look at it this way. The murder of Lavoie should have given everyone pause to not give up. Because, you know, this, when you walk out in the open, they're going to shoot you. Doesn't matter if you're threatening or not. And that's why I think the judge had to keep that out, because that would be an affirmative defense. And I'm just really shocked. You know, my prayers are with you and with the Bundy family and as a whole. And I want, and especially too, and I shouldn't neglect to say, with Lavoie and his family, with a horrible tragedy, I want to thank you for coming on. I will be in touch with you after the show, and we can maybe, or I can get a timetable of what's going on, and we can maybe arrange to do some updates. If nothing else, I can record you on Skype and just play the replay here so you don't have to make yourself available at a specific time. But I really appreciate you coming on, Shauna. And America stands with you. I'm telling you, this is not a popular thing, and it sounds like this is something we need to rekindle.
Well, we do, and I appreciate you, and I thank you so very much for having us and for the prayers. I'm telling you, this is the Lord's fight, and He's been with us. He's with us.
Yeah,
and so America needs to stay strong and keep praying, because we see miracles daily. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much,
Sean. I'll be happy to talk to you later. Okay, you guys have a nice day.
We'll definitely talk later tonight, and we'll also pursue this as the weeks and months come. Okay, thank you. I understand that we do have Lisa, and this would be a good starting point. Talk about the Bundy media blackout, which clearly has been there. Lisa, are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. Yeah, we had a little trouble connecting with you, and I had talked to Shauna like 2 minutes, you know, Shauna Cox, 2 minutes before we're coming on the air, and I said, Sean, I'm going to call you afterwards, and we couldn't reach you. I said, well, let's keep trying. We'll get her, and then I'm thinking, let's go ahead and get Shauna on for a quick update. And basically what she just said, I don't know how much you could hear, but effectively the judge has reduced the ability of the Bundys and everybody else to defend themselves by not letting in any of their evidence.
Whoa. That's bad. Yeah. You know, with the way that the censorship's going, the giving away of the internet, the more attack on your channel, on my channel, I mean, it's a bit terrifying, you know, the further along we get, especially when we see fellow patriots getting treated the way that they are, where they can't even show evidence. I mean, that's against the law what they're doing, is it not? I mean, they can't legally do that, but they're doing it.
We don't live in a society any longer that's governed by law. There's rules for, you know, the old saying, rules for thee, but not for me. And this is now, you know, this is the monkey wrench that's been thrown into everything. You don't get to defend yourself in court. The feds make up the rules as they go along. And meanwhile, the Bundys and all their colleagues sit in prison rotting, waiting for their day in jail. You know, I'm sure you don't know this, and I'll share this with you, and we also have a lot of new listeners. And I mentioned this right at the top of the show, and I'll give a little more detail on this. We were scheduled to have Ammon on. We were going to be the first non-mainstream media, you know, CNN, Fox, to have Ammon on. And the powers that be killed the show. I mean, they killed the network. They took every mode of communication down. It was independent of each other. They took down the Bundy's communication. We did get it off the air the next day. By Skype, and we had to go through some pretty circuitous precautions to make sure that it didn't leak out what we were doing. And, boy, I'll tell you, Lisa, these people, they're worse than the mafia. I think I'd rather have the mafia running the country than I would this administration.
You know, yeah, it's... You know, I have to tell you, the more that, you know, I guess the deeper that I get into this, you've been doing this a lot longer than I have, you know, as far as getting all the information, and I've only been in this a good, you know, 6-7 years, although I've been studying a lot of it, a majority of my life, but... When just from the time that I've been doing it, we saw what happened at Hammond Ranch. We saw what happened at the Bundy Ranch. We know where we're headed in the future. Hillary's already said that the right shouldn't even exist. Like, it shouldn't even be legal. That is the same rhetoric we heard from, you know, people like Hitler. And that's what I fear. And I think that's why this election year is very important to me. Very important to all of us, I know. Because if we get a Hillary election, then I would almost, you know, 90% guarantee that she's going to do 100% guarantee that she's going to do everything she can to try to shut us down. You know, through whatever conniving means she has to do it. Not only that, but, you know, even if, you know, Trump makes it or whatever, I don't think the battle is not over. The battle is going to continue. We don't know, to be honest, what a Trump presidency is going to look like either. I know we have kind of talked about this somewhat before. But with, you know, organizations like ICANN taking control of the internet, with the rhetoric from the far left, and she ain't even a real Democrat, it's this progressive socialist organization taking over, with the attacks that I've been getting lately, I mean, I know you've had death threats, I've had them, and the more that we go along, it just gets realer and realer. And you know, with Michael Hastings, I know they took him off the air the other day for a time.
You mean, and Michael Savage?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they killed Michael Hastings with a drone attack. But, Michael Savage taken in mid-sentence, I might add.
Yes, in mid-sentence. So he was taken off the air, and the reason I had said Hastings because I was getting to him next. But we have Breitbart, we have Hastings, we have these journalists who were outright murdered because they wanted to release, you know, certain information that people weren't happy about. You know, but what I am thankful for is that there is a fight. I am thankful that, you know, she got to come on your show and tell your millions of listeners what is really going on out there so that we can prepare ourselves for where we're headed in the very near future, which quite frankly isn't looking to be a very pretty place at this point. And I think that's why it's so important as well to stand with each other in a fellow community, so to speak, so we are fighting this battle together.
Well, yeah, let's digress a little bit, Lisa. You and your husband and I and, I don't know, about 60, 70 of our closest friends gathered at the Hancocks. And for those who are listening nationally, internationally, Ernie is a big-time libertarian and the best activist organizer I've ever met in my life. I mean, he puts everyone I know to shame. And he hosts something called the Arizona Breakfast Club. And we were there yesterday, and just a little aside here, I didn't know I was speaking until the day before when I was on Freedom's Phoenix, and I saw that I was speaking. Excuse me. So, what was your impression of that group? Because there's a lesson to be learned here for the rest of the country. What did you think your first time there with the Breakfast Club?
Well, you know, and I'm so thankful, Dave, for the invite, and I am absolutely looking forward to more. But what I was so excited to see is just a group of people in my area here that are willing to, number one, sit together, you know, not be afraid to sit together and talk about those political aspects that are often left under the rug. You don't bring those up in this conversation, you know, and these things are kind of left. But I love the nature of how they shared, you know, you get not only a sense of community, but they shared information. Here's what's going on locally. Here's what's going on in the election. This is what's going down here. Here's what we need to do to take care of this situation. And it was a real group that honestly focused on, you know, having a solution to the problem, working together to accomplish a goal. And I mean, I was just ecstatic the whole time because often the question that we get from people, well, why don't you do anything about it? Why don't you offer a solution? Why don't you do this or that? And you know, and it is one of those things that we often need to, you know, think about and ponder. And we definitely need a solution to what's going on here. And that's exactly what they offered. And when I saw that, I thought, man, we need more of these little communities like what you have there in that group, Dave, and we need them to spread out like wildfire. We need people to start, you know, their own, quote, groups in which they're informing people, they're telling people, they're doing things like networking together or printing, newspapers or articles, because if we go black and if we go dark, that's going to be one of the only things that we have left, if they take us off the air. We've got to find ways around this stuff, and we've got to find ways to communicate with each other and stay in touch when the crap hits the fan, because it will, and it is going to at some point in the near future, I fear. And that's why I think your group is so very important, and I'm just glad to be a part of it. But that is one huge way to be a part of the solution rather than to be a part of the problem. So that's my thing to a lot of people out that are listening out there. You know, start these groups, inform people what's going on, network with each other, and get in, you know, vote, do things that are, you know, you can politically reach people for a better cause and inform them about what's really going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, here's the thing about this group, and I want everyone to lean forward and listen carefully. I have asked far and wide, and if there are groups like this, please bring this to my attention, and we will give them attention. In Ernie's backyard, which is vast and expansive, he has a building. And in the building, They have basically a printing press. They have sign makers. I mean, they are incredible. I mean, Ron Paul called the Freedom's Phoenix group, the Arizona Breakfast Club meeting group, the best activists he'd ever seen. And let me tell you how it got started. The organization started in 1968. This is when the establishment controlled it. I mean, John McCain's been there, Janet Napolitano. Well, they don't come anymore because we took it over. Now, we'd invite them, but they don't want to come face the music and be asked the tough questions. But what's interesting is Ernie owns a restaurant. His wife sells real estate. I mean, there are people like everyone who's listening in the audience. They didn't come into this battle with millions of dollars behind them. They just built one step at a time. And Ernie was the producer of Charles Guyette's show, the best talk show host I've ever heard on these issues, who was driven off the air over his stance on the Iraq War. And that's when Ernie started Freedom's Phoenix as a website, and it just grew from there. And the reason I'm saying this to everybody, Lisa, is because this could happen in your neighborhood. Now, I know up in Chino Valley, Arizona, where I've spoken, they have groups up there, a group up there of Oath Keepers. They're very active. I was impressed at the number of people that turned out when I showed up there to speak. And then there are groups in various spots, but I don't know of anyone that's doing what the Freedom Phoenix people is doing. And Ernie will help you get started. I mean, I've seen him do it in other communities. So that's the one thing I really wanted to get you exposed to, Lisa, is because I didn't think that you were real aware of them. And they're the rabble-rousers. I mean, the media is forced to deal with Ernie here locally. If there's a hot issue, he's often getting a phone call for his reaction. So, but they were an impressive group. I mean, the people who were there to watch and observe were all extremely knowledgeable, didn't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I think it is. I think I agree very much so that they are one of the best activist groups, you know, I've ever seen. To have that level of knowledgeability of, I guess, minds that come together and do that. And they're making waves, making head waves. And they're not doing it in a violent way. You know, we're doing it from the ballot box. We're doing it from, you know, behind the scenes, but doing the things that need to be done in order to win our country. Because freedom isn't free. Freedom must be fought. It must be won. It's got to be won in our schools. It's got to be won in our businesses, in our homes, with our children, because we're getting attacked on various levels. And it has to be won from the ballot box, from political offices, from every area. Otherwise, we're going to lose it.
That's very well said. And so, you know, if there are groups out there across America and you're a member of that group or know of a group like this, please contact me so we can network with them and so we can give them more attention, perhaps some assistance, because ultimately we need to build our own committees of correspondence. And Lisa, this is where I'm leading with this. I'm absolutely convinced since the ICANN now, I like that term, ICANN. ICANN control what you see on the internet. But since they control the internet now, and since YouTube has their hero program they're implementing with trolls as young as 13 are going to go site to site and take you down, and then Facebook, of course, will ban you like they did me for daring to tell the world about how to stand up and preserve your property rights against the New World Order, this is what we're facing. So, Lisa, we have to have alternative forms of communication. And yesterday when I was speaking, I made the analogy to the committees of correspondence when Boston and the colonists there were under martial law imposed by the British for the Boston Tea Party. And when we look at these events of the colonists, they knew how to organize. Well, we're soon going to have to organize perhaps without the internet, although Ernie did mention that they've been working an alternative internet that the other side can't control. We had a gentleman there who I'm going to be networking with that thinks that one of the answers is to get ham radios out and we can link between groups, local to local, and make it regional. And also, well, I'll tell you, Lisa, you don't know this. I think you had to leave before I talked to this lady, but there was a lady there, and I'm not going to give her name at this point, but she's going to be on the show. She's a targeted individual. She, I'm trying to think how to say this without divulging too much right now before we're ready, but she's been electronically targeted. I have seen the photos, and she's being targeted by people from the New World Order for what she wouldn't do. That's about as politically correct as I can phrase it right now. And we're going to be exposing this. And these are the people that show up there. And I'm telling you, you can. I'm comfortable that when the lights go out and the internet goes down, that here in the metropolitan area of Phoenix, we're going to have some pretty strong activists. Because it's not just limited to the people who showed up yesterday. There are tons of people who are part of the Freedoms Phoenix movement who don't always come to the meetings, but they show up to the protests. So anyway, I'm glad that you could come out and be a part of that. Let's go to what you're working on now. You've got one of the biggest YouTube channels in the world, and your website is growing by leaps and bounds, and we're literally hundreds of thousands of people follow you on Before It's News with your articles. So what's in your wheelhouse right now? What's the number one issue that has you concerned?
Oh, sorry, my mic cut out. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Did you get the question?
No. Yeah, I got the question. You know, there's one thing that I saw recently that made my jaw hit the floor in disgust. And you may, I don't know if you've released this on your channel yet, but there was a magazine. It's a baby and family magazine. And in this particular magazine, there was a woman on the front of it with a child. She was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed woman with her little blonde-haired, blue-eyed child, and they were in skirts. And in this article where the lady was pictured, it basically said, "Beware of right-wing extremists." And it went on to label them as cheerful, blonde-haired, blue-eyed looking people who are happy. They're normally happy when confronted. And now, it made me want to just, it made me sick to my stomach. But it said they might be happy when you go and talk to him, but they are even worse than, or can be worse than, your Nazi back in the day. So they put them with the Nazis, and then they went and said, their kids are very obedient. Good grief. Now you're in trouble for having obedient kids. Now this magazine was from Germany, was in a German magazine. And the reason that I bring it up is because of two reasons. Number one, also in that particular report, they said that these particular people were very patriotic to Germany. So they would wear German, symbolism on their clothes. So these are the things that were targeted in that magazine. Now what that tells me is this is, another country, they're over European country. It's not a third world country here. It's Germany. And when we see stuff like this happening internationally overseas, we can bet that it's coming to our shores. It's already here. We already have the right-wing extremist document, which you and I have brought up numerous times, that particularly paints, if you believe in the New World Order, if you're pro-life, if you store food or ammo, these kinds of things, or you believe in FEMA camps, then you might be a terrorist. Now, they haven't gone and labeled the happy blonde girl with the baby. Despite the blue eyes, I'd be on that list, I guess. But it really shows the mentality of where they're going. We know Angela Merkel has done nothing but brought Germany down with the massive immigrations that she's let into the country. And now everybody's over there. They've got their hijabs on. They're protesting in the streets. A lot of people, quite frankly, in Germany are ticked off. And now they're attacking patriotism. Not only is it attacked here in America, it's attacked globally. It's attacked in Germany now. So we see this global movement against patriotism. That's why what's happening with Bundy Ranch, they're using him as an example. They want people to know that these patriotic actions won't be accepted. And so they're using them and others as an example to say, don't mess with us. We're allowed, as the BLM, they were allowed to do whatever they wanted. And that's what's sad. And the magazine is just a way to imprint through propaganda, through brainwashing techniques to people. So, when you bring your child to the daycare and you're wearing a skirt and blonde hair and blue eyed in Germany, you can go to this place and you go in and all of a sudden, you might be a terrorist.
My God, this criminalized thinking, criminalized speaking. And they're coming. We're the terrorists now. And we've said that many times on this show. I know you've said it many times. But we are the terrorists. Lisa, I wanted to throw this out to you also, too. I'm getting an unusually high number of referrals from people talking about the construction of FEMA camps in remote locations. Are you getting any of that?
You know, I've gotten some. We know with the internment and resettlement document. Now, I've read that whole thing, and I know you've read it too. But this document put together, I think, in 2009. Is that right? Does that sound right?
I think it's 2010. But yeah, we're in the same ballpark.
10,
right?
2010. Yes. And so we have that, and that document purposefully said basically they're going to build more of these things. These were camps that were built supposedly for dislocated citizens, for refugees, for in the event of a mass pouring of refugees across the border, though it's not even being used for that, and we've had tens of thousands of people cross our border, yet how come they're not, you know, involved in these FEMA camps, or what they call an internment and resettlement camp. So here we have these camps, and we have the document that says they're going to build more of these camps that we know some are empty and staffed, fully staffed. So what are they for? You know, and here's the thing. These, while they're supposed to be for refugees and dislocated citizens, and in the event of an emergency, that's what these camps are for, then why do you have double barbed wire fence and guard towers complete around them? And that's what doesn't make any sense about these internment and resettlement documents, unless you know the end game, unless you know who it's really for. So while they claim it's for refugees and people who have had a bad, something happened naturally and sent to this camp, well, if that was really true, it's not going to be guarded the way it is, but it is. And that's what sits at the bottom of my heart and just, ugh. You know, and here's the thing. Everybody that talks about FEMA camps is taken off air. We know I don't particularly like Glenn Beck, but he brought it up once. He said, hey, they're real. They exist. And within later that afternoon, he took back the whole thing and said, oh, no, they're a hoax and that was Glenn Beck. We know Jesse Ventura. The second that he did his one episode on FEMA camps, he was wiped off air. So anyone who speaks out about these things, if you're public figure, they're going to take you off the air. And that tells me that they're absolutely hiding something, and they're preparing for, we already know they want to confiscate our guns. They want to suppress Christianity. They want patriotism shoved down the toilet, ergo the magazine in Germany. This has been their agenda all along. And here's another thing to think about. I know I did a report last year where a reporter, and it was for, one of the local channels there, they went up because they wanted to film a particular monument that was in the area. And I don't remember offhand what monument it was, but they were filming, and while they were filming a guard from an empty, basically it's a FEMA camp, it was an old prison camp, but it was supposed to be empty and not staffed. Suddenly, as he's giving a report, this officer comes down and says, you need to leave. You can't be here. You're not allowed to film because of prison up there. And, the question first is, aren't you closed? What's, And so it's just, well, at least some of the media hopefully wakes up to this, but that is what we're faced with. We're faced with they're claiming they're not staffed, they're staffed. They're claiming they're using it for the immigration crisis. Well, they're not using it. We know Border Patrol has already released that they are allowed to travel wherever the heck they want. They give them tickets and they pay for it. Send them across the country unvetted, because really the whole process takes about 2 years before they let you in and everything's good to go. But instead of really vetting them, they'll ask them a few questions and ship them on their way sick or not sick, whether they got tuberculosis or criminal activity, because none of that is fully released until later. And we have had a refugee commit crimes, quite a few of them, but they suppress it and they hide it in the mainstream media because they want their agenda. They want to turn our country into a third world country and get rid of any nationalism sort of thinking or patriotic thinking. It's disturbing.
Yeah, it's really more than disturbing. What we're looking at here is a situation that it shows the deculturalization of the United States, the evisceration of national boundaries. And when you want globalism, you don't want national boundaries. So, of course, these people belong here. And if you want boundaries, Lisa, you're a bigot. You're prejudiced. You don't like people of color or people who speak Spanish because you don't want them here. And these are the pejoratives that we're tied into right now. And the bad guys right now are winning. I mean, one of the things that I wish that I had time to get into yesterday at the Breakfast Club about when I talked about the censorship that's coming, but I have written about it. It's time to boycott the New World Order. And what I mean by that, it's time to not shop at the corporate stores. It's time to take as much money out of the bank or spend it on resources that you're going to need and live month to month on your bank account. But Lisa, that's a problem too, because 50% of America does live month to month already. They have no money to take out. 25% of Americans, they don't even have a bank account. A quarter of us don't even have a bank account. That's how bad things are.
And that's exactly where the New World Order wants us. That's where our government wants us. They want us so reliant on everything. They want us living paycheck to paycheck. They want us poor. They want us dumbed down. And they're doing everything in their power to keep it that way. That's why we need a radical change. We need more activist groups like we talked about, you know, a little bit earlier. We need people to step outside of their comfort zone and tell more and more people about it, because they're going to attempt to shut down the info war. They already are. While we're winning on one hand of it, they are suppressing hardcore. And I can't tell you how many of my friends, I went to high school in a little bitty town, so we were all close growing up, so everybody knows everybody else in my really small town in Texas. That said, I had, I have some friends on my Facebook page who, you know, are all the way from high school, great group of people. But, you know, every now and again, I get that email, do you really believe everything you put out? And, you know, and it really opens the door. Well, let me tell you about it. Which one do you need to know? Which one do you need evidence for? Because we've got it. You got it, you know? And it kind of does open up that opportunity to share. But a lot of the times you also hit the brick wall because they've been so brainwashed. And some people that I cross, it's like you can show them the information, the real tangible evidence, but it's so ingrained in their brain that even though you have the tangible document, you have the tangible evidence, it's like, oh, that's fake. It's not real. And it's like, okay, we got it from whitehouse.gov, you know? And it's really to that level. Or they'll twist. Okay, here's what Obama said and blah, blah, blah. Oh, you took that out of context. Well, let's watch the whole thing. Not taken out of context. Well, he didn't mean that. Well, what did he mean? I don't know. You know, and so we're hitting these roadblocks along the way, but I think the more that we continue to do it, and the more that we continue to push and continue to wake up people, the more powerful that we're going to be as a force together to keep our freedoms, because we're fighting not just for today's freedom, but for tomorrow's freedom, for our kids, for our grandkids, for our future generation. I don't want to give up what our founding fathers did for us, for future generations. I don't want to let that go. I don't want to give my country up to a set of international laws, like Obama said at his last UN speech. He wants to, that America needs to give up some of their sovereignty, he said, and accept international laws. No, Obama, I don't need to give up my sovereignty to accept international rules and regulations, specifically on our internet, or specifically in regards to suppression of freedom. That's what he wants us to give up when he says we're giving up our sovereignty. And that's what he means. And, you know, and Hillary's not going to be any different. She is a communist under the radar. I'm good friends with Larry Nichols, and obviously he knew him back in the day, and she is as communist as you can get. And, you know, she has ties to Saul Alinsky. She's even done a report on Saul Alinsky. The woman is crooked. I'm sure you've probably talked about that.
She did her... She did a thesis, and I forget what level of education, but she did a thesis on Saul Alinsky, and her commentary was, this is the way we should be going. Yeah, let's tear everything down so we can build it back in an autocratic, totalitarian manner. That's his message. Unbelievable. You've written about, now careful when I bring this up and how you answer, because people send me tinfoil hats when I talk about this. But you've written about UN troops on our soil. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, they, you had talked about one, the UNX-16, I think I'm saying that right, but we've done plenty. I get emails. Let me say this. I get emails from lots of military people who are working behind the scenes with UN individuals. And we also see lots of foreign troops on our soils. Now, let's start with Russia. We know that Russian troops came on American soil back a couple of years ago. Obama needed Russian troops not only once, but more than once. We know through many different drills, we have Polish troops, we've had Chinese troops, we've had Bangladesh troops, all these foreigners in our country. Now, we also have the Strong Cities Network, which is 100% UN-driven, and it links one country's a state. For example, we've got Michigan linked with Paris, Paris linked, you know, with New York, and we have this spider web connection where they're forming this unified police force under the radar of the UN, where they share information. They share about what they can and can't do or what works or what doesn't work, but they share personal information about our police departments to a universal international organization who also shares that information with other countries. There's no like, oh, we're not going to share it with this person, because pretty much a majority or of the big countries anyhow are all a part of the UN. So if we get into a battle with, you know, say China, well, don't worry. They already know all our tactics. They already know, you know, everything about our police force. They know about our technology, you know, so good luck. And so these are the kinds of things that are shared. But United Nations is in pretty much every single state here in America. And I had brought this up once before, but the UN is here already. Now, they're not always here in their blue hats walking around with that garb on, but there are reports of the United Nations people working directly with our U.S. military. Now, Obama, not that long ago, earlier this year, even signed a deal with the United Nations in which he said it is, or he now allows and makes it legal to basically bring in the United Nations peacekeeping force, which is not peacekeeping, but he allows them to be brought in order to aid Obama in the event of some kind of catastrophe. That's something that happened this year with the Obama administration. So he can call on the UN peacekeeping police force at the lick of a dime, and they can come in our soils and do basically whatever they deem necessary to do. That's a problem for me. We have a National Guard for a reason. We don't need the UN. We have a police force that can assist the National Guard if need be. We don't need the UN. But here we are bringing the UN, saying it's okay to come on our borders. It's okay to come in here and do whatever I need you to do. Why would Obama do that? Why would he do that? Why would Hillary, you know, be okay with this as well? Anybody in that organization is. Why would they do that? Well, I think the answer is simple. Same reason they're building FEMA camps. When he has a civil uprising from the people in America and they get fed up with everything that's going on, then he's going to call the, quote, peacekeeping force. While he labels it, it's only for emergencies. That would be an emergency situation for our administration. And then they will start roundups, and UN military people will come in, take your guns, and drag us to these FEMA camps. So it's one of those things, and it's not only that, it's the United Nations is in our schools, it's in our colleges, it's they're in clubs. I went to a school the other day that had a model UN program, and I've read this model UN, I've read some of the curriculum. They've got a couple different books, but on series 2, it's the second book in the model UN curriculum. In that curriculum, it specifically says that there is a rise of people people who are against this globalization. They called them anti-globalists. So you've got an official title. You're an anti-globalist.
Thank you.
I'm an anti-globalist. And our kids are learning about these anti-globalists in this freaking curriculum. And it's like, okay, they're training our children about these anti-globalists. So in other words, because you're not for this, you're not for, you know, your freedoms being ripped from you. And of course, I'm not going to say it like that. They paint it under this pretty little picture. They say, we're going to invite your kids to travel the world and take a country. That's what this UN thing does. So they bring people in by saying it's an educational course that your kid can pick a country and learn all about that country. And in the meantime, we're going to brainwash them about anti-globalists. So when you go to your kid's school and you start talking about your freedom here in America and you got your patriotic flag on your shirt, you might be an anti-globalist. You know, or if you got blonde hair and blue eyes and you're cheerful like in Germany, well, you might be a right-wing extremist. And that's where we're headed. And it's this new global push that's really being reamed on our children. And that's what I fear. When this next generation grows up, what is it going to be like if parents aren't speaking out against organizations like this? And I absolutely did. I gave the school as much as I could in a nice manner because my kids did not go there, obviously. And I said, you pushing a global organization, do you know that's like, you know, where's the national? I said, well, okay. I said, well, do you have a group that at least talks about patriotism here in America? Does anything like that exist? And her answer was no. It's a really good program. And I had to hold myself back.
Let's give them credit. What school was this?
Oh, what was it? A school, Foothills. It was Foothills, in the Phoenix area, Foothills Academy.
Oh, was it a charter school?
It was a charter school.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, that's all UN mandated. That comes out of the Committee for Education for All that led to No Child Left with a Behind. I mean, No Child Left Behind and Obama's deal. And this is, yeah, that's who this did this. That's charter school stuff. Charter schools are as communist as you get.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, them and public schools.
Well, I'll tell you, the lesser of two evils is a government school. Not a charter school.
Why?
I'm telling you right now. Because the agenda of these charter schools, well, I'll give you an example. Here in Arizona, it is a state law that the kids have to have the opportunity to participate once a day in saying the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, one nation under God, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so in a charter school, there's no such requirement. And I actually called around one day. Do you guys say the pledge? No. Do you say the pledge? No. No, we're too busy. We don't say the pledge.
Oh,
and
God.
So right there, just from a patriotic standpoint towards one's country, these kids are raised to be neutral globalists. And the way that they promote nationalism, it's negative. It's the cause of all wars. And globalism is the salvation of the future. Yeah, we really want to be under the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, people who start wars that kill millions of people. That's a good choice.
It's absurd. And it's really depressing. You know, I mean, I know a lot of people, they don't have a choice sometimes. You know, it is what it is. We have to send our kids sometimes to these schools. But the thing is, if they have to go, I really encourage everybody to at least tell them, encourage them, and fight it. You know, if there is a model UN program, you know, let them know what's really going on behind the scenes. Read and look through some of the curriculum of what they're being taught and teach your children how to fight those things. And that's what
I try to teach
my kids.
On page one of the UN, the model UN program, I would have them read about what effective job the UN did in Bosnia, Serbia, and Rwanda, where they're responsible for the deaths of millions of people, partly because of their inaction and partly because of their participation. So when the UN comes to your town, grab your gun. It's self-defense time. And I mean that wholeheartedly and sincerely. I'm not saying it about our police. I'm not saying it about our military. But I'm saying when the blue helmets show up, I know they're not my friend and they're not here to help me. They're not going to be helping old ladies across the street. Lisa, we're just about out of time, and I wanted to make sure that you had plenty of time to talk about all the different work you do, which is voluminous. So tell people how they can follow your good work.
Absolutely. I have a YouTube channel. That's probably the biggest thing I have there. But it's if you just Google Lisa Haven on YouTube, you know, put me in, I will come up there. Also, I have freedomnationnews.com. It's a website that I have, and it's got lots of great information. And all my information that I spoke about today is on there. And there's always I always include attachments of the physical documents so you can read them for themselves, including the Model UN curriculum, if anybody wants to check that out. But those are great ways to follow me as well in what I do. So that's kind of it.
That's amazing. That's wow, you're busy. And that's why I really appreciate you taking time to come to the Breakfast Club. And you know, the story I like to tell about, you know, how we beat the globalists and stuff, I wouldn't have done it. Wouldn't have been successful without the help of the people from Freedom's Phoenix, and especially Ernie Hancock. It was a tremendous thing. And again, I want to put out the all call here. If you have an organization like that in your community that's really active and everything, and you have meetings and people are really involved and standing up to the man, we want to hear about it, because Lisa and I will expose this stuff. Lisa, what do you think? Yes or no? There's going to be an election.
Say that again?
Yeah, I'm putting you on the spot here. Is there going to be an election?
I think
so. Tough question, I know.
I think so, but I'm not... I don't know. It could go south. I don't know. This is one of those on-the-fence things. I hope so. That's my hope. Maybe I'll sit there.
Yeah. I go back and forth, but I'm telling you, Trump is again gaining momentum after hitting a bump in the road because of his crappy performance in the debate, but his numbers are climbing again.
Well, let me say this.
In critical states.
Let me say this real quick. I was completely off the fence for a while about anything happening. I thought, yeah, there's no way they're going to cancel the election, not at all. And I said that a good portion of the first half of the year, but now I'm really on the fence. The closer we get, the more, I mean, from Hillary's health to Donald Trump's stance on things to, you know, what Obama's doing with your leak of what you got leaked about the EMP, it's just one of those, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's really tough to get our mind around. Well, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us. Look forward to having you back on and following your great work on YouTube and Before It's News. Thanks a lot, Lisa.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll be back in hour number two with Joseph Meyer, and you're not going to want to miss what we're going to talk about. It's going to get ugly. Not between Joe and me, but by what's happening with the economy and Deutsche Bank. See you in hour number two.